You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until...
That presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case...
Unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools.
I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com. Designed for work.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is
I Will Make You a Millionaire, another episode helping someone reach their goal of making millions.
I'm just curious, do you have any like people chatting on a with you on the chat?
No, but I feel like that's okay because I still enjoyed myself. Today I live streamed myself trying to set up a landing page and then it wasn't working. So then my computer was so slow. Then I just started talking through it all, but I'm learning. I'm trying to do it at least twice a week to learn. And I love it. Today's was called business chat where I was just talking about business and who knows what.
I think the idea of doing it twice a week is very good. I would do it consistently on the same days each week, but Twitch streaming is interesting. People think, it's just for streaming people playing games, but really any live event can be Twitch streamed. And then it's multi-purpose as well. Let's say you have interesting questions that people are asking you. Those could be the topics of newsletters. The entire stream itself, you could put up as a YouTube video if it's interesting enough, or parts of it, you could put up as a YouTube video or as a podcast. It's another way of building an audience. It's a different platform. Even when I stream stuff on Twitch, hardly get any users, but it grows each time because that's just the nature of the beast. You have to do it a lot for it. But because you have to do it a lot before it pays off, it's useful to have plan Bs. So, okay, while I'm doing it, I'll maybe get one or two questions that could be in a newsletter, or I'm going to repackage part of this as a YouTube video and so on. So there's still use for it, even if no one's on there.
Yeah, I think I'm going to continue to do it where I maybe talk about how I'm building the newsletter or talk about strategies and then take that audio and do something with it later.
Yeah, perfect.
But at least it has a purpose. Yeah, but I love it. And it's been such a fun thing to just force myself to do and I'm enjoying it. So I'm going to keep doing
it. How do you inform people that you're do you announce it on your newsletter or Twitch meeting later today?
I haven't informed anyone because I'm still in development mode of figuring out what all the buttons are, but I'm going to start posting it on my other social media. Then I'll schedule it in the newsletter to say, okay, join me Wednesdays at 12. So I'm going to start promoting it, but I haven't done that.
Yeah. So I think Twitch is a really good idea. So yeah.
Also maybe, so right now you're on Coffee Talk, right? On the categories, maybe you should just try just chatting because just chat. So let's say, for me, I don't have a lot of followers, but the way I decide what game to stream is I go to Twitch first page. I see what categories has the most viewers that I will stream that games. So more people will incline to watch that stream. Usually I will usually do that. Okay. Just chatting has 455 viewers. Yeah.
Wow.
So if you do just chatting, people just go in there. People will just go through. Sometimes they just scroll through. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. And they will jump in.
Yeah. Okay. That's good to know. I'm gonna switch from just coffee, but I'm gonna explore just chatting a little bit more. I'm loving this. Wait, just give me a month, and I'm gonna have a whole Twitch setup. I'm gonna have the three monitors, the microphone.
That'll be good.
Just wait.
And then, do you Twitch? The one thing about Twitch is always confusing to me is it requires multiple platforms. Jay, why I still don't understand why people need to use Discord.
So Discord, it's okay. So you have to think about Discord and Twitch two different things. Discord. It's more for a community tools. So let's say if I have a community of 1,000 people, but not all of them online. And maybe some of them, they like to interact with each other, but not with me. So they would just go into Discord. They would just go into their own room. They just chat in there. So the other thing that I use, people use Discord for Twitch is that, okay, so let's say you subscribe to me. This is the special benefit that you can get. I will make a special room in Discord for the subscribers only. So let's say if I'm playing a game, I want to invite you to play my game, and you're the subscribers, I can invite you to the VIP room, and then we can play games together. It's almost like meeting meeting a celebrity a little bit. So think of Discord as a community building tools, and Twitch is just for streaming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yep.
So Discord's like, if I'm on someone's Discord, it sort of lasts longer than the Twitch. I can go on anytime. If I like some gamer, even when he's not on, I could go on Discord to his Discord and log in. And then I see all of his other fans and we could all talk.
Yep. You can all talk. You can even post stuff. Or maybe sometimes let's say Jens has a Discord. She can post like, okay, this is what I did today. This is what article I found today. And then just pin it. So people go to the Discord, they can read it. Or they can.
But here's what's confusing. Let's say I'm streaming, Twitch streaming, me playing chess. Mm-hmm. Where is the chat that I need to pay attention to? Is it on the chess site? Is it on Twitch? Is it on Discord? Which chat do I focus on?
Twitch.
Twitch, yeah. Okay.
So you don't have to care about Discord unless you invite people to jump on Discord. The reason why I use Discord with you is that I don't have to jump on Zoom because Zoom uses more resources on my PC than Discord.
I see. So Discord is also streaming the stream.
No, Discord is just for me to talk to you. That's it. So let's say if five people want to talk to you, five people play a team game like Valorant or like Counter-Strike or Dota or League of Legends, five of us just join the one room rather than having a
Skype. I see. You're on Twitch, but you're chatting with each other on Discord and communicating on Discord.
Yep.
So I would challenge people. So Twitch is this great streaming platform that tens of millions of people are on.
Yep.
And I would challenge people to think of like original uses for it. Like, for instance, Jen, let's say you're about to have an argument with your husband. Say, hold on a second. Let's turn on Twitch and stream the argument.
Yep.
That would be an alternative use of Twitch that I've never seen anyone do. And of course, that could be repackaged for podcast, YouTube video, anything. And then you invite people to watch it and chat.
Yeah. And also what you can do is you can put a poll on Twitch, like who's going to win the argument? And people can pull it.
Oh.
So that's the thing too, is if you have a moderator, like Jay, for instance, Jay could be interacting with the audience, like who's winning now? And, you know, so on. And who do you think should win? And that sort of thing. I mean, not to be so commercial about your marriage, but that is.
Oh, I would love that. Count me in. I got to get the husband's approval, but I love it. You know, a divorce lawyer reached out to me. A divorce lawyer was reaching out to me about prenups, postnups, and I was going to do like a private podcast recording with her and then release it in the newsletter. But I'm thinking now that maybe I can live stream it, promote it in the newsletter, and then have people come to Twitch live and ask questions.
I think that's a great idea. And Jay, we should think about live streaming some podcasts on Twitch. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing with Nathan. We're about to do another one with Nathan. I'm about to do another one with Nathan.
The companion podcast?
Yeah, the companion podcast.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. So on the companion podcast, the way I did it, I also have intro video and outro video. So a lot of time you want to start your stream first before you actually jump onto your stream. So what happened is I have these things. I have this bumper. I call it bumper or intro. It says the stream is starting soon and the music play behind. It's almost like you go to concert. People, you know, open door, wait for more viewers comes in and you start to stream, then you start to interact. So you didn't start right away. So I have it up for like maybe 5 to 10 minutes. You know, I chat with the streamers and then I start the show after, you know, because usually during the intro time, I'll talk to Nathan what we talk about, pre-plan some of the questions, pre-plan some of the conversations. And then after that, I didn't end the stream right away. I will end the stream. I say thank you for watching and then let it play out for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes while still interacting with the audience.
And then Jay, you should, so my advice to you, which maybe you already do, is you should raid someone else's stream then.
Yes, I should. The thing is, I don't know a lot of people on Twitch. So like I have no one to raid.
But let's say you have no followers and let's say nobody's watching your stream.
Right.
If you do a raid, the other streamer sees you doing a raid and he'll usually say, oh, thanks, Jay Yao, for the raid. So what happens in a raid, Jen, is that all of your
Yeah, tell me about all of your
listeners or watchers, they are moved over to the stream, the Twitch stream that you are rating. So if like if you have thousands of listeners, then that's a huge benefit to the stream you're rating because suddenly your listeners are listening to that stream. But the benefit to you is the streamer will usually notice it and say, oh, there's a raid from Jay Yao. Now all of his listeners or her listeners, which might be hundreds or thousands or tens, will wonder, oh, who's this Jay Yao raiding my favorite streamer stream? And so it gives it's another marketing thing that exposes you to a new audience. So you can raid someone else's stream and then all of their listeners at that moment will see, oh, Jen Glantz's stream is raiding us. Who's Jen Glantz?
I feel like I got to read a book or take a course on all these terms. I mean, Twitch is a whole world. Couldn't you even like pair up with someone and plan, like pre-plan
Absolutely.
This? Like
if, people do
yeah.
that.
Yeah, that's why I mean, not without a Twitch. I see I have like Nathan on. So the video that I just sent you in the chat, it's just me and Nathan side by side. The next thing that might be a little bit difficult for me that I want to try is actually have the layout. So we have our names. Also might want to have audience on just to chat with us. That's another experiment that I'm going to try because I have to also figure out the technical side of it. Like how do they come onto Zoom without me, you know, going crazy?
Wait, are you using, you're using a program to stream, right? Does it
no,
StreamYard?
No, I use OBS.
See, Jay, again, I feel like there's a problem here that an entrepreneur should find a solution to. So if I'm streaming a game, there's the game platform. There's Twitch.
Right.
There's Discord. Now, okay, what video streamer are you going to use? There's StreamYard. There's OBS. Why can't someone invent just a stream in a box so it's one click and I'm streaming everything I want on Twitch?
I think Twitch is doing that, but I don't think they are there yet.
But it's not easy. Like,
no, it's not.
If I had to stream right now,
yeah.
even though you have set me up 37 times, it would be hard for me to just click like, okay, now I'm going to start streaming.
Right. Well, so if you want to stream podcasts, right? Melonapp.com. Hold on. Let me, I just want to make sure it's the right one. Melonapp.com. They have a very easy one click to stream. That is only for podcasts, not for gaming.
Okay. But Jay, that's one something I didn't know. You should almost write the 5-minute guide to Twitch,
yeah.
which if you want to do this, do this, this, this. If you want to do this, this, this. And right. and then it'll be done. Or, and
Please.
Then someone can make software based on your 5-minute guide. And then,
yeah.
then that person will make money.
Yeah, that's my millionaire series right there.
Yeah, there you go. I just made you a millionaire
yeah.
in our dreams.
Yeah, yeah.
You're
I'm good.
You're
I'm good.
Good
for that. Yeah, but streaming is really fun. I think the reason why no one want to do it yet. It's probably not a lot of people. Like people that stream, maybe not never think about what they want. They just want to stream. So that's
yeah.
probably one of the reasons why. And streaming is also one of the most flexibility industry. Like maybe this person only want this. Maybe I want different thing for different times. So they just have to figure out the problem to solve the problem.
Wait, when you're streaming, are you also streaming it to YouTube and other
no.
places? Or are you just streaming to?
So okay. I know some platform can do that. They call it a multi-platform streaming. For me, I rather focus on StreamYard because what happened if where do you want to direct your audience to? Right. So let's say if like yeah, I'm streaming tonight. You guys can go to Twitch, YouTube, and this. You know, and then if you. And every platform monetizes it differently. Yeah, so I rather focus on
Got
one,
it.
Either Facebook or YouTube or Twitch. Yeah, I
right. Well, that's the other thing is where you're streaming to. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's very confusing, and but
it
people
is.
Do it. And look, the great thing about Twitch is that it becomes a monetization tool for people who are really passionate about something that didn't exist before. So a great example, of course, is the gaming industry. Let's say someone likes the game Fortnite and they're not that good at it, which is 99 point, you know, by definition, it's almost everybody. But they have a great personality and they have a fun time exploring the Fortnite world. And I don't know, it's just fun and funny to watch them. Then they can make, you know, $1 million a year or more with Twitch, even if they're not the best. It used to be the case you had to be the best to get sponsorships, to get money. But now, if you just have a good personality and you're streaming a game and maybe you have some educational things to say about the game, even better. But you could get tons of views.
So you do you know what personality that found out that would get the most view?
No.
Yeah, for gaming it's yeah. raging. So people love to see gamer rage. They're like they will like the streamer will yell and they will like curse. They will throw stuff.
People
love watching it.
Even when I watch chess, which you think of as like, oh no, chess players are very just like dorky and they're not going to rage or whatever. But I watched this one guy, Chessbra, and he's one of the best players in the world. He's the best player in Canada. And he's a young guy. And when he loses a game, sometimes he throws a chair. Sometimes he like walks around the room yelling and, you know, cursing. And it's just funny watching him rage, like you say. I didn't realize that that's actually one of the attractive features of watching him.
Yeah,
even though he's also very good. So you learn things.
Yeah, you know Ninja, right? I don't know if you know Ninja, Jen, but Ninja is one of the big streamers.
But he's not one of the best players, right? Is it Fortnite?
Someone did like an article on him, like why he's so successful. It's because he rage a lot. Yeah.
Wow. Well, yes, it's like reality shows. I mean, the best reality shows are the ones where people are losing their minds screaming. It's the same kind of thing. My mind is twirling around how I'm going
to
rage.
Well, the thing is, I think that only apply, that might only apply to male streamers. Female streamer, I don't know yet. Yeah.
It depends on your brand because like, I don't feel, and I hate to use the word brand. It's just not natural to me to rage when I lose a game, for instance.
Yeah, me too.
You know, people will be like, oh, why is he getting upset over it? It's just a game. Come on. So, whereas if you're younger and playing a game, it makes more sense. But, you know, I'm an old man, so I can't rage while losing a game. It wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, streaming is definitely very interesting right now. It's been my one of my most interest area. So, like, But the thing is, I'm just not good at growing it. So like, I just like stream for fun. I know how to grow it, but I'm just like, it's lazy.
I think a lot of people out there would do very well streaming. Like, so for instance, one of my daughters is into watching streams. She's into games. She's slightly on the spectrum. So she has an offbeat. So while there's downsides to that, she has a very offbeat personality. But I think if she were to be a little bit more let's say forthcoming on while she's streaming and kind of let her personality really shine and the offbeatness of it, I think someone like that could do very well on Twitch, for instance.
Yeah, I think, don't you think live video is going to continue to be something huge? I mean, every social media platform is doing it. Everyone is getting more and more into it. And I feel like Twitch hasn't really taken off to its fullest potential yet either.
I mean, it hasn't. It's definitely taken off to its fullest potential in terms of gaming and e-gaming. But you're right.
Yeah.
I don't know why only now people realize, oh, I can go on Twitch and talk about business or marriages or other things. Like, I think it's a perfect platform for all of that. And no one's ever really used that use case before.
They rather go on YouTube and talk about it and all rather than Twitch. But I think Twitch has more potential because, you know, people can subscribe, people can pay money, people can donate. You can design your channel to look a little bit better.
Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like, I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a 3-year period. And I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs. And I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, the first thing I thought was, I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, you know, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like, I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb. while I'm away, and I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a three-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.
So Jen, how are things going?
Things are good. I've been busy. I've done a lot of different things. I would say I did three main things since we talked last. Number one is I got 100 more subscribers to the first year of Verige newsletter. So now I'm over 300. Number two, I worked on the card decks. We can talk a little bit about that. And then the third thing I did was start an Odd Jobs newsletter, just because we talked a lot about that last week. And surprisingly, people are really into that idea. I just posted it today. I saw you posted it. And so many people are like, I love that. I would definitely subscribe to that. So people are really passionate about that. And also when I was researching Odd Jobs, the things I found just blew my mind. I mean, there's a lot of interesting jobs out there.
I mean, and a couple of things to unpack from that. First off, in your newsletter, The First Years of Marriage, you wrote a post on odd jobs you can do from home. What people don't understand is it's a great idea to launch one product from within another product. So for instance, whether you did it as an article or as part of your First Years of Marriage newsletter or as a podcast, you test it out where you have an audience, odd jobs you could do from home. And then if people like it, then you could, it starts to bring into mind, A, should this be a new newsletter? B, should this be part of the marriage newsletter, but an ongoing series? Should this be a podcast? Now you know this is popular. You focus grouped it with your audience from one platform. And now you know, oh, the people have interest in this. Maybe it is good to try it out as a new newsletter. And I can guarantee you people will love it if you did it as a new newsletter. And you're going to find out all these interesting things that you can either bring into the marriage one or the podcast or whatever. All these things kind of connect with each other. Or again, if you do 50 of these odd job newsletters, now you have a book that you could self-publish, and adding maybe interviews or adding other stuff or having 50 new jobs that you didn't put in the newsletter. And boom, now it's a book. And then you could start giving talks about odd jobs, like what makes all these jobs attractive, how to develop your own odd job, which you started to do in this particular edition that you already launched. The other thing is that's interesting is basically, and we mentioned this before, I think, but the uglier the job, sometimes the more interesting it is, and sometimes the more lucrative it is. So again, I think I gave this example last week, but I know a guy who basically picks up garbage every week, and he does this process to get the steel out of the garbage, S-T-E-E-L, and then he sells the steel he's picked up from the garbage, and he makes millions a year. And it's such an ugly thing. Oh, what do? Oh, I pick up garbage. People would like leave it at that. Okay, on to the next person. What do? Oh, I have an internet startup. But the guy who picks up the garbage and siphons the steel out of it makes, you know, he's made tens of millions of dollars in his career. So, you know, sometimes these odd jobs are extremely lucrative.
Yeah, I couldn't stop thinking about how you said ugly businesses last week. And I wanted to find a way to incorporate that, maybe changing the name of the newsletter. But yeah, I did that by accident, because on Substack, you can add a new newsletter. And I didn't realize it added it to the First Years of Marriage. But I just went with it. I posted it. I tried it out. I just wanted to test it. And I think my new thing is I'm not going to overthink things. I'm just going to experiment and do. So yeah, the Odd Jobs newsletter went up on the First Year of Marriage. Great. It got a lot of traction. But I'm thinking maybe of even changing up the name to like Odd and Ugly Businesses, or, you know, every week theme it something else. So one week could be like just, you know, ugly businesses you can do from home. One week can be ugly businesses you can do that make you six figures, odd jobs you can do while traveling.
I like Odd and Ugly Businesses You Could Start Today, something like that. And yeah. And then you could have like different categories. Like you could even make a newsletter. Well, some jobs are odd. Some jobs are ugly. Some jobs are strange. Some jobs are, you know, I don't know. You could think of like a bunch of different categories. And then kind of when people open the newsletter, they know, oh, good, this is going to be an ugly one. I like those the best. Oh, good, this is going to be an odd one. I like those the best. Oh, this is going to be a home one. I like those the best. So you could have just different categories.
You know what was crazy is last time we talked, I go, there's definitely somebody who has done this already. And in my research, I didn't find anybody who had a newsletter about odd jobs. I saw a lot of podcasts, which were interesting, but yeah, there was nothing like this. And then what I also wanted to do, because I heard this on a podcast and I couldn't forget it, is like making job boards, because you can monetize job boards. So I found a website where you can easily create a job board. And then I was going to embed that in the newsletter so that people can find different odd jobs around them to actually apply for as well.
Yeah, like I like you put this odd job board, July 2021. Is this embedded from something?
No, that was just, I just like did like a sample, but I found this really cool website. I think it's Sheet. I linked it in our notes that you can make a job board. All you have to do is just use Google Sheets. I think it's called Sheet to Site. And basically what you can do is create a whole job board using that. And then what I figured people can do as I built the subscription up is that people can pay to list their job in this newsletter.
Yeah, I love it. I think this is going to be an exciting one. So basically this week, you launched an entirely new newsletter. You put out a couple issues of The First Years of Marriage. You added 100 subscribers and you started working on the card deck. And again, this is what I always tell everybody. Right now, it's of course too early to figure out how to monetize these things. Like we have to see what people want. We have to see what kind of users you get. We have to see what content people like the best. And then it gradually will become clear what, you know, you want to strike at the right point instead of kind of haphazardly trying out different business models. You want to really hit the highest odds for making a lot of money when you first monetize. Because once you monetize, some people will be turned off and it'll cap, in some way, it will cap what you're doing. So we have to make sure everything's going well. But Let's talk about the card deck. So last week we talked about this idea of making like a card game where it's for people in relationships or newlyweds or maybe even oldlywebs. Oh, by the way, first, before we do that, I liked this issue that you just put out of The First Years of Marriage about the divorce rate. So I didn't realize the divorce rate is now trailing lower than 50%.
Yeah, it's getting closer and closer to 40%. Which I thought was interesting too. And I think I listed a couple of reasons as to why that is. But yeah, I think this, you know, cliche of 50% of people get divorced is not true anymore.
Well, let me ask you a question. Why do people get married? Now, I'm married, you're married, a lot of people we know are married. So obviously I didn't have that much of a problem with it. But like, why should people get married? Like, why when people are like, you know what? I love this person more than anything. I want to spend the rest of my life with this person. You know what I need to do now is tell the Division of Motor Vehicles that I'm with this person. Like, because that's all marriage does is tells the government that you're married.
I struggle with this so much because I couldn't figure out why I needed to get married, except that everyone tells you that you should and everyone judges you if you're not. And for so many things, like I honestly do not have a good reason as to why people get married, unless of course it's for a legal purpose like health insurance or, you know, taxes or whatever. But I don't have a good reason. I personally do not have a good reason why people should get married. Because again, it is literally that a legal document that you sign. That's it.
I think, to be honest, I think the reason I get married is that I'm insecure. So that I know this is something that whoever I'm with wants to do. And I know, I feel like it's a way to secure the relationship somehow so that nobody leaves me. Although, of course, that's a myth because people get divorced. 40% get divorced. But, you know, for that reason, I'm willing to do it. But you never, you know, I don't know why most people do it.
I think it's one of those things where it's a thing that you do because you're taught to do it. For example, why do people automatically just assume to go to college? It's almost like we're taught this is next, this is next, this is next, and you don't question it. And I think, you know, I started questioning it after the business I'm in about why do Adam and I need to get married? We've been together 6 years. We live together. Life is great. But I did feel that giant sense of pressure to just do what everyone else is doing. I mean, why do people go to college? Why do they have these gigantic weddings? Like, I'm thinking about the other things people do because they're told to do them when they don't really know the purpose behind it.
Yeah, so it's an interesting thing. Like, maybe that's a newsletter topic. I don't know. All right, let's... So yeah, tell me about the card deck. So last week we talked about making this deck that... Well, you describe what you did.
So yeah, I've always been fascinated by the idea of making a card deck. I've seen them become very popular. It was my goal of this year to create one. And last week we talked about perhaps doing it. We found that it was so easy to do it because all you really need is to write out the questions, maybe hire a designer, which you can do very inexpensively, and find a company to print the cards. And we found a couple of companies. So this week, in between the time we talked, I went through the internet, I spent 30 minutes, and I collected all of these different questions that could be card deck questions. I think I have like over 200 of them. Most of them I just took from websites. And my plan is to go through them, maybe pick the best 150 for the card deck. I priced out the card decks and I also priced out designers. And what I found was to make card decks and to only order about 100 or 200 of them, it would probably be between $15 and $25, which is quite a lot because you're not going to make a ton of profit off of that. And when I was researching competitors, a lot of card decks sell for between like $14 and $27. So it's very low margin, but I still think there's a good, you know, it could be a good idea to do something like
that. Yeah. And well, let's see. I wonder why. I mean, it makes sense that it's $14 or $15 to print one. I wonder what does Cards Against Humanity cost, which is the most popular one, I think. So that's $25. So you're right. Yeah, the margin doesn't seem that great. But you know what? I'm trying to think. And then there's these expansion decks that they sell, but I imagine it still costs like $15. Right. I mean, Cards Against Humanity has 108,000 ratings and reviews. Like, people love that game. And maybe, again, maybe it's a way, if you don't lose money and it doesn't take you that much time and it does make a little bit of money, then it's also a good way to market other things like the newsletter or whatever. I don't know. But it should be that it's more profitable. So I wonder if there's a cheaper way to print it.
I think absolutely. And I think it gets cheaper as you order more. So, you know, I bet you Cards Against Humanity probably cost them like $2 to $5 per deck. So because they're ordering in such quantity. But I looked at Shuffled Ink, and I looked at the other place I looked at was something really funny, like makeplayingcards.com. And that was about $16. Because of course you want it to look nice. So you want to choose like decent packaging, you know?
I have your answer, which is all those places that you're potentially ordering from, they're based in the United States. So it's expensive. But I just went on Alibaba and for a customized deck, if you order 500 packs, minimum order, I'm looking at the first choice here, it's between 19 cents and 56 cents a pack.
Wow, that's a huge difference. A huge, huge difference. Okay, I'm going to definitely check that out.
Here's one that sells 400 cartons, and there's 12 decks per carton, and it's $43 per carton. So that's a huge discount too, although I have to do the math. Yeah, customized playing cards. I wonder how customized you can get. Well, here's one for a game where it's 99 cents to $3.50. So you could definitely get something cheaper.
Yeah.
Here's custom printed. Oh, yeah. Here's a whole other kind of game. It's 21 cents to a dollar. You could print whatever you want on these things. Oh, yeah. Here's a game called What's Your Story? And they printed it up for, if you order more than 10,000 sets, it's 55 cents a set. I want to make a card game now. Jay, what kind of card game can
we make? Seriously.
You have an idea in card game, remember?
I forget. What was my idea?
The like what Trump saying or something like that?
Oh, but that was when Trump was president. Like,
yeah.
So we have to have a different one.
Yeah. So the one card game out there is like what podcasters say. Like there is a card game for like why a podcaster will ask questions. You know, you can do a card game on like what would you say during your divorce or you know, like a journey to wedding, like, you know, and play a card game like that. Yeah.
What about a skip the line card game?
Yeah, like if in this situation, what would you do? Oh, look, here's some sex card game that they're advertising on Alibaba. I wonder
Those do really well.
Wow, this is a nice design too. And they have like a little metal container that they give you for each pack. So, and this is, yeah, again, 50, 19 cents for four of them, more than 5,000 sets. Although it has like regular Ace of Diamonds, all that kind of stuff. So I don't know where, what the sex part is. But okay, so yeah, so assume now that there is a better way to make a profit. By the way, whenever you see a business where it's kind of confusing, why are they doing this on only a 10% margin? Then you need to dive further because just looked myself because it didn't seem right. Like most businesses have about a 70 to 80% margin, may give or take 10%. But that's how you have to be thinking for like a physical business like that, is that there should be a much higher margin. Now, unless you're expecting enormous quantity. So Walmart doesn't have such a high margin because they have enormous quantity. They have like hundreds of billions of dollars in revenues. But for any other business where quantity is not going to be that big, there's got to be like an 80% margin to make it worth it.
Yeah, and this is why I really want to push myself to do this, is because I've never sold a physical product. I've only sold services where you're not so concerned about a margin because you're offering your time. It's so different. So like something like this is such a great lesson for me because I don't know. You know, I don't know any of this. I wouldn't have even known to think to go to Alibaba, which makes so much sense, is just find someone who can do it for cheaper.
Again, and a lot of people, when they think physical products, like particularly for all of us who have been doing like digital products, to think of physical products, a lot of people think, oh, okay, I'll make merch. I'll make a t-shirt about marriage or whatever. But those are, everybody's doing that. Those are hard businesses to make like $1 million from. Now, you could make $1 million in revenues easily anytime you want. If you spend $2 million in advertising, you'll make $1 million in revenues. But I think cards are fun because if people play the, first off, you could see now, oh, maybe it'll cost me $5,000 to buy 10,000 decks or whatever it is. Then you see if that sells out really quickly, you know you have a business. If it doesn't sell out, you don't have a business. And when it does sell out, you'll make back your money anyway. So, you know, even if it takes 2 years to sell out, you'll make back the money you put down. So it's one of those businesses that are pretty easy to test and easy to try. You could make, you could try 10 new businesses, 10 new card deck businesses over the next year. By the way, then once you do it once, it's topic for your newsletter. Or here's a course, how to make your own card game. Mm. Boom. And you have a course and newsletter potentially, or a newsletter idea on how to make some money. So not only can you make money on the card game, but you could then make a course, how to make your own card game, included with a special one-time offer of 50 card games you might want to try making. And you make a little course and you sell it through whatever, you know, Skillshare or whatever.
I love that. That's a really awesome idea. Another thing that I've always wanted to do, because I'm obsessed with scratch-offs. I love the idea of scratch-offs. So I was thinking of some sort of game or card game where people can scratch off a challenge, an adventure, a question. I think the art of getting them to take an action could be really unique too.
I love this idea. So imagine for the first year of marriage, scratch-off deck. So you have, or whatever a pack of them is called, you have 365 scratch-offs, and every day when you wake up with your newlywed, you scratch off, and there's like one challenge you have to do for the day. And it shouldn't be so time-consuming because people have to go to work and stuff, but just one, you know, one scratch-off per day for the first year of marriage. I think that's a huge idea. So let's look on Alibaba how to make a scratch card. Hold on. Let's see. Customized scratch cards. 1 cent to 10 cents a piece. So that's one thing. Let me see. Oh yeah, 1 cent to 8 cents, 5 cents to $1. I guess there's different types of customization. What about the ideas for the card deck?
I wrote down about 200 different questions that could be cards. And these are questions to ask your partner, discussions, challenges, experiments, things like that. And all I did to brainstorm these was just simply in 30 minutes, do some Google searches, go on Reddit, go on Quora, just read different articles. And I just pulled all the questions into an Excel spreadsheet. And then as I get more serious about this idea, I'm going to just go through them, edit them, pick the best ones and go from there. But again, it was just an easy way of me testing out this idea.
Yeah, I love it. And there's what are some other ways you could test out some of the, you know, situations or questions you bring up in the card deck. So describe the game, like describe the, if one people, we described it last week, but describe a little more, like what would happen when people get your card deck and what do they do?
Well, they're going to get the card deck and they pick a card and the card either has a question to spark conversation or some sort of experiment or challenge to do with their partner. An example of a challenge could be, and this one was pretty far-fetched, but interesting, create a funny prenup of items you couldn't live without. So rather than like a serious prenup, it would be like, okay, if we get divorced, I am taking the air fryer. Like that is coming with me, you know? So to create like a fun little prenup with your partner.
Oh my God. I love this idea because you imagine like, you know, newlyweds go out to brunch on a Sunday. They could say, okay, we're going to take this, you know, this card deck with us. And then they could do make the funny prenup at brunch. It gives them an activity to do while they're doing something else.
Yeah, and like I had another one is like call three people in your life and get them to tell you what they love about you as a couple, which is perfect if you're fighting or you're not feeling great about your relationship to just call people and be like, hey, what makes us so good together? That was another type of experiment.
So here's the question, like how can this be played? So let's say you have friends over, another couple, and you're in your living room and you're trying to figure out something to do and you want to play the card deck. Could this be something that's played with multiple couples? So, because maybe it's like a separate kind of idea. Like you're in this situation, you know, some horrible situation or good situation in marriage. Like you just make $1 million. What would you do with it? And each couple has to guess what the other couple would do with it, or maybe each person has to guess what, I don't know, one member of the couple would do with it, or I don't know. I'm just trying to think of like some way to challenge each other.
Yeah, I feel like there could be another card deck, like couple versus couple, where you get together with your coupled friends and you play these games. I feel like that could be an extension pack or a completely different game, because I feel like that would be such a fun thing to do with your coupled friends.
Yeah, because even like, let's say I'm looking at your questions now on the spreadsheet, like, what's your favorite memory of the last year? Now, of course, that could be played with a husband and wife, and that's interesting, and you learn a lot about your spouse with that. And then imagine if you ask another couple, or imagine if the card comes up and you have to guess what the favorite memory of the other of another couple was. Even if, so they write down what their favorite memory was, and other couples in the room have to guess what their favorite memory of the last year, because some couples won't even know them. So they'll have to guess something totally outrageous. And, you know, everybody kind of submits their answer. And then the couple in question picks the one that was closest to what their favorite memory was of the past year. So it doesn't have to be exactly, it could just be closest. And then that couple who guessed most correctly gets a point. And at the end of the evening, the points are added up and that's who wins. So this could be a couple versus couple type of situation as well.
I love that. I mean, there's also another idea to do a card game first year of marriage for just one person to use, meaning not even for the couple, for the individual. Because again, I think a big problem with marriage is that a person loses their identity. So maybe it's like the first year of marriage solo deck, where it's all questions or games for you to get back to who you are, to figure out things about yourself.
That's totally correct. Like it's almost like the due diligence relationship card game or something. I don't know, like what do you need for a relationship to work for you? So to focus group some of these questions, you could try. You could say, okay, I'm going to do it right now on Twitter. So on Twitter right now, I'm going to ask, no one's going to pay attention to me, but let's see. Question for all married couples. In retrospect, would you rather have eloped or had a huge wedding with a ton of guests? So I'm tweeting that out right now. And, you know, this is a good way to focus group. If a lot of people respond, you know, this is a good question for the deck. If nobody responds, maybe that question's not so good for the deck. So
yeah, I'm going to put out a newsletter for the first year of marriage where I do polls and voting. and have people vote on like a bunch of different questions, release those answers. But those questions can also help me test out even what could be in the deck as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So, and again, keep your, I like how you're keeping track of the process of all this, because making a game / card deck, there could be a course about this. By the way, setting up on Twitch, Jay, once again, there could be a course about this. Maybe you and Jen should do one where Jen's going through it and you're helping her set up and you document the process, and that's a course. Because remember when we had Brandon Lemon on for the Side Hustle Fridays, where he talked about making a course, he niched down his course. He didn't just do sales. He didn't do this massive course about sales. He did one about cold calling. He did one about closing the sale, or he did one about software to use for the sale, or whatever. He did all these like small courses, and they each made enough to pay his rent every month.
Yeah, I like that, because I don't want to take a whole course on Twitch. I want a Twitch course for someone exactly like me, who's doing it not for gaming, but almost just doing it to live stream parts of my life or things like that. So yeah, that'd be cool.
You would never take like a 3-week course on Twitch. You want like a course you can go through in sort of an hour. And then maybe there's also a Q&A board where the course creator could respond to specific questions. And then also that's an opportunity for consulting. If you make a course and then someone's like, oh, I don't know how to log into Alibaba. Well, okay, they could hire you as a consultant to log into Alibaba or whatever. Oh, templates to advertise the first years of marriage. Did you start advertising the newsletter?
So I made a list of like different ways. I researched weird ways. And the couple things I did was I ordered a bumper sticker for our car. We're about to drive from Chicago back to New York. So I'm going to put the bumper sticker on the car. Adam is not thrilled about this, but that's such great advertising, you know, to have a bumper sticker, and it's free. So I did that. I also ordered merchandise for me to wear. If I can wear a t-shirt 24/7 that says the first year of marriage.com, people are going to check it out. I advertised it in.
Oh, you know what you could do? The first year of marriage, and then fill in the blank. And so people will come up to you, people like, the most frustrating thing about the first year of marriage is, and then fill in the blank, and people will walk up to you and tell you, and then that's not only a way to advertise the newsletter, but content for the newsletter.
I loved it. I mean, I was looking into billboards, and then I was like, I could be in my own billboard. The car can be a billboard.
Yeah.
My existing newsletter, you know, I was thinking of all these things that I can do as billboards. And then I researched billboards, and they're not that expensive. I mean, the minimum was about $5,000 to start the process. So it's not that expensive if you're, you know, if you have a budget for that. But I was like, that is a dream of mine, is to one day have a billboard. That's going to be on my bucket list.
Oh, so here's an interesting thing is you just said, why don't you be your own billboard so you could wear this t-shirt? Well, thinking about it, here's a business idea. I have a business. Other people wear shirts. And so there's an intermediary in the middle, like, hey, will you be the billboard for my business? And everyone who signs up gets a shirt and maybe gets a small amount of pay. And you'd have to figure out how to track that they truly are wearing the t-shirt and not just saying it. So that's what makes this business idea problematic. But this is how I think about a business. It's how do you scale everything you're doing? So like you're your own billboard. Well, how can I get 1,000 people to be my billboard wearing shirts? So maybe there's a business there where there's a platform, be a billboard, and you hook up businesses with people who are willing to wear t-shirts and be your billboard. But again, I don't know how you track that really. So it might not be a good idea, but it's a thought. You're wearing a t-shirt. Can you advertise in other newsletters? I forget.
Yeah, I did. I paid for an advertisement to go out July 16th in the newsletter that had the audience that I thought was good. So I paid for that. And I have...
How much did it cost?
I paid $150 for, I think, 300 words. And I believe her list is over 60,000 people.
Wow. Okay. That's good.
Yeah. I figured it was worth the investment just to give it a try.
One thing that I would add, by the way, is... take some of your older newsletters now, like for instance, or take this one right now that you just put out, the divorce rate is less than 50%. Well, I would take that exact article and put it on LinkedIn, Medium, Thought Catalog, Huffington Post, wherever people read articles and wherever you think you get an article run, and put the exact same article in each place because they all have different audiences, and throughout the article, or either at the end, if they, depending on where they allow you, but throughout the article, I would put, you know, in brackets, for more like this, check out my free newsletter, The First Years of Marriage, and then link to your newsletter. So that's like free advertising, and you'll get an audience. Like, you put it on a platform with millions of people, like LinkedIn. If the article goes viral,
yeah, you just gave me the idea to put it on Quora too.
Yeah, on Quora, of course you should put it on Quora. I'm gonna go on Quora right now for a second, and I'm looking at the question right now. Why are the divorce rates high in the U.S.? There's already 100 answers, and some of these answers have thousands of views. So. Yeah. Let me see. Okay, here's one. Is it true that 60% of marriages divorce? There's 100 plus answers for that. So people are viewing these things. Like, these, some of these answers have, again, thousands of views. What should people know and do? Here's another question. Is it true that over 50% of marriages end in divorce? There's 33 answers, but it's got more followers. And again, I'm seeing some answers with a ton of views. So I think Quora is an excellent place to put it. So, okay, podcast. Yes, you should be going on podcast. At some point, when you have enough issues out there, people will ask you to go on podcast. So that's possible. But there's also sites like matchmaker.fm and other sites like that match podcasts with potential guests. So you could sign up for those and say, look, I was a bridesmaid for hire, and now I'm writing this newsletter so I could talk about divorce, I could talk about marriage, I could talk about, here are the topics of my newsletter, and people will contact you to be on their podcast. All right, First Year of Marriage card deck. You found designers on Fiverr. Okay, and again, I would add now to that one, that's a potential course. And the reason I keep mentioning course, because I saw later on you have ideas for courses. So you started the Odd Job World newsletter. I think that one, you're not going to need to advertise it. I think what you should do is just basically put out that one as many as possible as you can, because you're actually solving people's dreams in that one, where... Like in the marriage one, you're solving people's problems, and it's also entertaining. Like, you know, first year of marriage, we all go through it, and there's ups, there's downs, there's interesting, quirky statistics. So it's entertaining, it's useful, it's helpful. You're solving problems for people. If they didn't know something, it's a good resource to find out stuff about. But the Odd Job one, and by the way, I like the name Odd Job World. The Odd Job one, I mentioned that because you wrote that in your notes here. The Odd Job one, you're actually helping people achieve their dreams. They hate their jobs and they want to do an odd job from home. And I think this newsletter should go out as much as possible. Maybe you don't want to put 10 per newsletter because that's a lot of work, but maybe you find an odd job and you interview someone who does that job, and you give kind of a quick cheat sheet for how to start doing that job and links to resources, and boom, you're done.
My question is then, the promotion of that, because now I have to get all new subscribers for that newsletter, right? So
you won't need to promote it because people are going to share it. Like, I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to take your newsletter and do what many other people are going to do. I'm going to forward it to my kids, because I have a job, okay? But maybe I know people who don't have a job, so I'm going to send it to them. Or maybe I know people who are unhappy. This is a very shareable type of newsletter.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do to test this one out. Is I'm gonna create a whole separate account for the Odd Jobs newsletter, and I'm only gonna promote it to be shareable. I'm not gonna do any other crazy external promotion for that, and experiment to see if that one blows up just by people sharing it.
Yeah, and you could encourage people to share either on Twitter or on email.
Yep.
You know, you can give like buttons for sharing. By the way, I tweeted that. Would you rather elope or have a big wedding? And it's like pages of responses already. Pages of responses. I have to click show more.
Are they saying elope? I feel like elope is going to be popular.
Well, it's interesting. First off, it's mostly men who've responded. But that's something about my followers. And men are definitely saying elope. You said elope. This guy says elope. Wife even agrees, but she didn't agree then. But she agrees now. And here's one woman who says, we did both. I liked having the guests because it's the only time in your life you have all the people you mostly like in one room. Well, other than your funeral, she says. And then here's one woman, Michelle York, who says Las Vegas, in the car, a drive-through wedding venue 30 years ago and still strong. It's good for her. Here's a guy who says, we've been married for 30 years. We look back now, and even though there are a ton of fond memories, and we would have given who we are now, we would have eloped. And here's a guy who says somewhere in between, like a backyard barbecue with good friends, drinks, and a handful of great people. Oh, but here's a guy who says big wedding, wish it were even bigger, timeless night. So good for him. And here's another guy who says we'll do the big wedding again. All right. Here's a guy who says elope. And this is my answer. People hate to be invited to weddings, which is true for me. I don't know. This guy says we had 45. I don't know what that means. Oh, 45 guests.
Probably 45. Yeah.
Oh, and here's a woman, Jackie Wicks says, our wedding was perfect. Still my version of perfection. 120 guests in a family loft on Great Jones Street. Hundreds of flowers from Chelsea Market. Champagne served as loft opened. Hoopa made from my husband's grandmother's sari. And I had the best time. I'm going to like that one.
Yeah, I like that too. That's sweet.
Yeah. So yeah. So look, that people seem to be attracted to that question. They love it and they like answering it.
Yeah.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until
the Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Going further on the notes, you started talking about courses. So you're saying this could be a course for any one odd job or odd jobs in general?
I find that people are so curious of how to start a business, but what if it was how to start an odd business? And inside the course was odd job case studies and interviews with people who have founded odd jobs. So it was almost like, hey, you want to start a business, but you have something about you that is maybe weird or odd. Here's how to start that odd job.
Yeah, I love it. And that could be a course. You could also do a course per job, but maybe the first thing is doing the general, you know, how to come up with an idea for an odd job. And, you know, by the way, some jobs might be unique, but not necessarily odd. Like a lot of people would like to know, for instance, how they could be a ghostwriter for books. It's not an odd job, but it's a job you could do from home. And, you know, it's sort of, you know, I know very few ghostwriters, even though that's a common job. Maybe people would be interested in how to get into a job like that. So not every job has to specifically be odd, but it's odd enough that it's worthy of including, or it's unique enough. Like there's unique, odd, ugly, so it's unique enough. So, here's your million-dollar list, 10 lifestyle changes you'd make with $1 million. This is an interesting, you know, we talked about this before with the card game, but I don't even know if I suddenly made like a huge amount, what else I would change. But so your list, Jen, is you would quit all your freelance work and side jobs. You'd raise your prices for, I hope you don't mind me reading these.
Oh, no.
You'd raise your prices for coaching. So you would take less clients per month, but still really enjoy what I was doing. By the way, everything that you would do, I'm going to ask you this question. Everything that you say you would do with $1 million, why don't you do it now?
Okay, well, when I was making this list, because you asked me at the last call to make this list, and when I was making it, I go, is this a setup? Because everything I'm writing here is something I could easily be doing right now, but I'm just putting it off. And the whole time I was writing this list, I thought that.
So for instance, raising your prices, that's something you can easily experiment with. Next time someone calls you for coaching, you could say, well, I charge $5,000 an hour. And if they say no, you have to be willing to hear no. That's the point of an experiment, is the experiment could fail. The downside of an experiment is you learn something and maybe you didn't get that client, but you already have a lot of clients anyway. So each one of these, like hire a team of 3 to 5 people. Well, I'm sure virtual assistants you could hire. So you use them only on demand and relatively cheap because it's outsourced to other countries. Have multiple homes, places to live. You already have that because Airbnb. And the real question is if you would use them so you can experiment like, okay, I'm going to visit some of my quote unquote multiple homes. Am I willing to even visit Airbnbs at different, more than I go on vacation? You could test what it'd be like to have multiple homes. Take extended time off to write 2 or more books. Well, you can't, there are techniques for writing books extremely quickly. I used to regularly give on this podcast, and people could look back at the episodes, 30-day book challenges where I would give five different ways or three different ways per podcast about how you could write different, I would give different ideas for books that you could write in 30 days. And so you could definitely write a book in 30 days, even with a job. So this is something you could experiment with. And I give examples, like if you go to Amazon.com, there are people on there who have literally hundreds of books. So yeah. There's this guy, I always look at this guy, Patrick King. I think I've even probably bought one or two of his books. This guy writes an enormous number of books. Like here's one, How to Extract Info, Secrets, and Truth. Here's another one, Improve Your Conversations. Here's another one, Read People Like a Book. Here's another one, Stop People Pleasing. The Art of Witty Banter, The Science of Likeability, The Art of Everyday Assertiveness. Like, and from what I understand, he's also has pseudonyms where he writes books too. And some of these books, like here's a book, How to Listen with Intention. I don't even know what that's about, listening with intention. And he's got 607 reviews for that book, which means he must have sold thousands and thousands. Yeah, like here's there. And you can't like fake, you know, these are all verified purchases too, these reviews. So, oh, my girlfriend noticed a positive change as I read this book. Reviewed in the United States on December 6, 2020. So he just published this book and he published this 1 year ago in 2 weeks and he's got 600 reviews. It's still number one in statistics in the entire Kindle store and it's number two in educational psychology. Like this is doing better than my book Skip the Line right now, which is published by a major publisher. So it's certainly possible to write tons of books fast.
He's got a number one bestseller and his covers are outstanding. I think that's also why too. I mean, they catch your attention. They look really professional too.
Hey, let's get Patrick King on the podcast to talk about all of this. We need to figure this out. We need to figure out this guy's secret instead of me always just talking about him.
Okay, but as you're reading this list that I wrote, I'm sitting here kicking myself because this isn't a list of what I would do with $1 million. This is my excuse list. I mean, everything on here is an excuse. I'll call myself out. It's excuses. Like, I feel pathetic. I feel absolutely pathetic. It's such an excuse.
Oh my God, hire a personal trainer and a personal chef? You could totally do this right now. First off, a personal trainer tops in New York City is going to be $100 an hour. Outside of New York City is going to be cheaper. Or you could go join a gym where they give you the personal trainers for some amount free. And hire a personal chef. That is really not as expensive as one would think. Like during the pandemic, we had somebody drop off essentially 21 meals a week for us because we weren't going shopping and stuff like that. And this person was doing it anyway. And we were just another client for them. And the meals were great. And it really didn't cost that much. I forget the exact amount, what it cost. Otherwise I would say, but it really didn't cost that. It didn't cost more than I would have spent anyway, ordering and cooking the food myself. Of course, hire a personal assistant. You can get a virtual assistant for cheap. Invest in businesses I think are extraordinary. Okay, go to angellist.com and you could put $100 in private businesses if you want and get in. And I encourage everybody to do that. Get familiar with identifying and investing in private startups. And then as you make more money, you'll have the process down and you'll have the experience and skill set better. And you'll learn which people to follow on AngelList. You could follow other investors and see what they're investing in. And you can invest in the businesses they invest in. It's called syndicates on AngelList. And so all these things, yeah, you're right. All these things you could do right now.
Wait, is this why you asked me to make this list? I couldn't stop thinking about it.
It's part of the reason, yeah. Because you should always do the things that you would do if you had $1 million. Like, let's say I had a lot more money. One thing I would do is, it changes all the time, right? Maybe sometimes I would write the novel I've wanted to write, or maybe it would be play chess all day, or maybe it would be spend more time with my family. Well, all of these things I do right now. And if someone tells me, oh no, you should continue being an accountant so you could save for your retirement, that's the last thing I'm going to do.
Yeah. I feel like if someone's like, I don't know what to do with my life, it's like make them make a list like this. And then that's everything they want to do. They're just making excuses not to do it.
Right. And you can't tell them that that's the purpose of the list or else that's how they're thinking. Right. You have to see, oh, well, this is what I would do, but I can't do it yet. They think they can't do it. So this is all good. So what's coming up this week? What are you focused on for this coming week?
Okay. So I'm going to continue to increase the first year of marriage subscribers. I want to continue to increase that. I'm going to put out the Odd Jobs newsletter as a separate newsletter and only make it so that it's shareable. I'm not going to put too much time in pushing that out and promoting it. I'm going to continue to do some research on the card deck and test out the questions, also price out Alibaba. And I have a couple other ideas. I mean, I really like this idea of like a human billboard company where you connect people who want to make a couple dollars and companies who want their items promoted. Like I think humanbillboard.com could be like a really cool idea.
Oh, I love that name, humanbillboard.com. The question is, how would you track, and I don't know the answer, maybe there is an answer, how would you track that they're doing it?
I mean, maybe you develop some sort of like app or something that tracks them, or, you know, it's like, hey, like I'm going to pay you $25 and wear the shirt for a month. Like maybe because you're not investing so much in these people wearing it, but you're giving them a free item to wear, you know, maybe it's not something that you have to track so much.
Yeah, you're right. Like maybe it's just you give them the free news t-shirt and some of them will not wear it and right. Others will. And you know, the thing is, if you make a t-shirt where it's like interactive, like for instance, you know, somehow it says subscribe to the first years of marriage newsletter, but also it says like the biggest problem in my marriage is fill in the blank. People might enjoy wearing that t-shirt because people are going to come up, strangers are going to come up to them and answer. And people like that. So if you do it in such a way that people are going to enjoy wearing the shirt, then you don't really have to pay them. Or maybe you pay them like, I think it's good to pay a little bit because you get what you pay for. So if you pay nothing, then there's a much larger chance of you getting nothing from it. But if you pay $10 or $1, people are much more inclined to do something for a dollar than to do something if it's free. So if there's no pay. So even if it's just $1, because of in Robert Cialdini's book, Influence, there's reciprocity. So what are they going to do for you? If you give them a dollar plus the t-shirt, they're going to do something. If you don't give them anything, then they don't do it. But like one time I was running for Congress and somebody who's a really good marketer gave me the advice is that to win a primary, he said, every primary is won by older people because older people vote in every single election. It's a way they get out of the house, whatever. So older people you have to campaign to older people. So go to every old age home and give every person there a dollar and say, please vote for me. And he said, then you'll win any primary. And the reason that conversation started, because I was once having dinner with this guy and he said, I can make everybody in this restaurant a congressman if I want to. And so I said, okay, make me one. And then I took it seriously until I didn't. But that was his advice. So, okay, what else? What else is on the agenda?
You know what? A funny story is that a company who wanted Adam to take a survey mailed him the survey and $1 bill.
Yeah.
And Adam is the kind of person that was fascinated by. He took the survey, he got the $1 bill, then they sent him another survey with $5, and he kept doing it because of that little incentive. So it's just funny how that happened.
Yeah, and by the way, survey companies are worth billions of dollars once you have an audience like that. So it's just nonstop people answering this question. So I think you've got something there with that question at the very least. And by the way, then that suggests content for an issue of the newsletter. So, so there's the newsletter, there's the Odd Job newsletter, there's card deck. I would consider some of these try to do at least one experiment on one of these lifestyle changes you would do if you had $1 million. And then the Odd Job board is very interesting. I would think about that a little bit just to see where that could go. And then I would think about writing articles about marriage for other sites and link people to your newsletter. How did the King Sumo do? So King Sumo is a contest to build newsletter subscribers that we described last week or the week before, but how is that going?
It was such a good idea. And also I found some places you can post giveaways and I found some that were like pretty credible. So I posted the giveaway there. I got a lot of traction for that too. So the giveaway is awesome because I think it gives people another incentive to care and share this with people. So the giveaway is still going on for another week or two, but it was a great idea. Probably the top idea that brought me new subscribers.
And again, you're keeping track of all this. So when you get to 1,000 subscribers or 5,000 or 10, that whatever number you decide, I think that's a course, how to get your first 1,000 subscribers for your newsletter. So that's, and you're keeping track of everything. So this is perfect. You'd hardly have to do any work. But all right, so there's some other notes here, but we could talk about them next time. I think this is really great on everything. And I can't wait to play the card game with my wife once it's done. And then, as always, we just should keep thinking of more ways to monetize everything. And the human billboard idea could be interesting. But I think there's a lot of execution on between odd jobs, first years of marriage, card deck, and maybe some of these other things that we discussed. I think there's a lot of things going on now. And I think pretty soon we'll start figuring out what the best way to monetize is. But for most important thing now is just getting subscribers. Oh, and keep, I would, are you recording your videos you make on Twitch? Because again, some of them might be good for your podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to record them and save them and just keep them so I can use the content for something else eventually.
Yeah, and then, yeah, 10 businesses outside of wedding industry. Let's talk a little bit more about that next time as well. I like some of these. This is all good.
Do you remember last time you were talking about weird people we would hire for things and you were going to maybe hire bodyguards for the chess tournament? Did you ever think about doing that?
Oh, I thought about it and I decided not to do it, but maybe I should still do it. I think that's a fun idea. Or maybe, you know, and then I'd have to, you'd have to have a persona for it too. So maybe I'd have to wear like dark glasses and the COVID mask and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think that's a fun idea. And then you think about where things like that could go. What if you, so I'm always thinking right now, because I do like the idea of, I've written so many books, but when I first started writing in the early 90s, I wrote only fiction, but I didn't get anything published at the time. And so I'm thinking of going back to writing a novel. In fact, Jay and I were just talking about this before the podcast. It gives me an idea for a novel, like Mr. Experiment, some guy who just does these, like hires weird people for weird things and does these odd experiments. And one of these things, you know, lands him in trouble somehow. So maybe like the fact that he has a bodyguard, two bodyguards following him makes the police suddenly start following him as well. And all sorts of things happen.
Hey, it could be a nonfiction book if you do it.
Yeah, it could be a nonfiction if I actually do it. That's often usually the best nonfiction, by the way. So, all right. Well, Jen, thanks so much once again. And it really seems like everything's going so great. Like we're really excited to always see your updates. And I love that you're taking so many detailed notes on the updates, because that in itself is a book to happen. So once you even make $1, there's like a potential book there. So... but of course, we're aiming to make you much more. Thanks once again. I hope you're enjoying all of this.
Yeah. Oh, I'm having the greatest time of my life. It's just the best. So I appreciate it. And I'm going to bring even more next time we talk.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks so much, Jen. And thanks, Jay, for hosting this once again. And I will talk to you guys later.
Thank you. Thank you. Talk to you later. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.